is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. When you walk into the Cherry Lane Theater to see comedian Neil Brenner's new show, the first thing you see is this large piece of art on the stage, sitting on multiple shelves or blocks carved to look like seemingly random objects. There's a cross, a dog bone, a pink high heel, a hashtag, a black power fist. But then Neil Brennan himself comes out and he picks up, say, the dog bone and reveals that he doesn't love his dog as much as he thinks he should or that you think he should. And that human dog moms aren't a real thing, that dog has a mom and you're basically a kidnapper. So the laughs start. And so does the self-analysis. And by the end, some deeply personal revelations. Each of the objects on the wall represent a topic Neil will take on in his wide-ranging and vulnerable show called Unacceptable. Neil rose to prominence as the co-creator of Chappelle's Show, and for years now, he's been establishing himself as one of the most valuable and creative comics out there. He isn't afraid to upend things and get meta. In his last Netflix special, Three Mics, Neil hopped on three different microphones to represent different styles of comedy. For this show, Neil worked with postmodern magician and performer Derek Delgaudio in this role as a director to help Neil shape a special that is equal parts storytelling, confessional, and stand-up routine. The show reveals just why Neil finds different parts of himself unacceptable and how he's trying to find ways to change that feeling. Unacceptable is playing at the Cherry Lane Theater. It has just been extended through November 21st. Neil Brennan, welcome to All of It.
Allison, you know, I hear my intros and I don't always like, I don't like who I sound like. and I gotta say, I like that one. That was a good, because I don't know what you guys are going to say. So I'm sitting there kind of wincing and then like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I go see that show. Okay. Yeah, I'd see that guy.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
You make a point in the show at one point where you wonder why you can't do a straightforward stand-up special. Have you figured out the answer to that yet?
Well, the short answer is I mean, the joke I have with, like, you know, some of my more popular cohorts, like say a Chris Rock or Dave, is like, if I could crush as hard as them, I would just do that. But I can get there. I can get close to how hard they crush. And then I add an emo element, for just to deliver all the same nutrients. So it's the same amount of calories. I just get there in a different way.
Yeah, because the show is, it's performance. It's a show, but it does have some of the rhythms of a comedy set. So as you're putting it together, what did you take from sort of that traditional stand-up comedy set format, and then what did you jettison?
You know, I mean, in some ways it is fairly conventional. It's more like the joke I make is, it's like if Rodney Dangerfield did 10 minutes of like, oh, I get no respect. And then he did like 4 minutes about like not getting respect actually hurts. You know what I mean? Like it's like they're jokes. And then I talk about like, yeah, I'm joking. But like in reality, this is the feeling, you know, beyond like the sort of glib interpretation of the feeling. It actually does. It can be a little, you know, painful.
So Derek Delgaudio, who's have been on guest on the show, actually, you know, he really wowed audiences with this sort of mystical and thoughtful show that revolved around magic and sleight of hand. What did you think when you first saw his work, and why did you think he'd be the right person to collaborate with?
I saw it live and just thought like, this is great. Right. And then I did the thing with where everybody, Derek had a thing in his show where you pick something to identify yourself by, like, mm-hmm. I am, he had a bunch of cards that said, I am. And I'm a plumber. I'm a mystic. And I picked comedian. Right. And then he goes around and says what everybody picked at the end of the show. And he said to me, you are a very good comedian, which is his, it was a very cute way of mm-hmm. signaling that he knew me. And so we became friends after that. And his Hulu version of In and of Itself, the film version that he directed with Frank Oz, was maybe the best adaptation of a show I'd ever seen. Huh. And so I just thought like, this is like, there's not a very long list of people that have done shows like this, right? Mm-hmm. There's, it's Mike Birbiglia, Hannah Gadsby, Hissam Minhaj, Hasan Minhaj. You know, it's, I'm sure I'm forgetting some people, but it's not a long list. So I just thought, you know, he helped me in developing some parts of it, and it's just a small group. So he's very, even people that have done it know what it's like. He did his show like something like 700 times. So just getting through this sort of, the grind of it is cool to have mm-hmm. somebody around that knows what it's like.
My guest, Neil Brennan, the name of his show is Unacceptable. It's the Cherry Lane Theater. So the movements around the stage, your movements seem very, very deliberate. And the choreography seems deliberate. How did you and Derek think about how you should move on the stage? Was there any sort of discussion about body placement?
Yeah, well, there's like an artistic answer and a practical answer.
Go for both.
The artistic answer is... you know, I'm sort of, it's the artistic answer is more set design. Like I'm kind of in that, like that wall is built, right? That wall, that high wall that it looks like I'm trapped. Someone said it looks like I'm trapped inside a Macy's window. or I'm in like sort of a portal. And so I'm kind of ruminating, poring over my own frailties. That's why I'm kind of pacing the way I'm pacing. Now the practical reason is normally you'd have a follow spotlight that would be in the back of the room, but we would have had to kill seats because of it. So basically one light's turn on, and then when I go to the other side a different set of lights turn on. And it got me in a weird habit of walking slowly because mm-hmm. I beat the lights a couple times. Like I would walk to the other side and the light wouldn't have come on yet. So it's got me walking a little slowly. That may be too much information for the people at home.
No, but, you're on public radio. There's no such thing as too much information.
Yeah, they get it. They get it. Exactly.
So, you know, your shins have been taking a beating because of this particular moment in the show. You have to run into a chair.
I have to run into a chair, and I kept running into it the same way. And my left shin has like a welt on it that's at one point was probably half an inch off of my shin. And I've since changed my strike point, and I'm now striking it with my right thigh, but I haven't hit it with my shin in 2 weeks, but yet the welt remains. It would be funny to me if I had it for the rest of my life. Cause it's not painful. It's just a funny old man injury. Like, oh, this, I got this doing local theater in New York. In 2021.
Let's talk about 20.
Don't ask.
Let's talk about 2020. You talk about in the show about the pandemic, how, you know, you strike me as one of those extroverted introverts. So you actually.
Yeah, I call myself a bossy introvert.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the same way, the world's most social loner. So
yep.
You enjoyed being alone during that time. What did that time do for you?
It didn't bother me. It didn't, well, because of my sort of like jobs, I'm a comedian and so that's a nighttime job. So it requires like either an hour, you know, hour and a half a night, maybe 3 hours at most. And then I direct commercials and work on stuff during the day sometimes. But so there are entire days where I'm just home doing kind of nothing. What would look like nothing. So I didn't mind it. It was nice. You know, the joke I do is it kind of felt like, yeah, you enjoy some discomfort there. Extroverts. Mm-hmm. Like see how you like the world. Like this is how introverts in the world most of the time are in a mild, either mild or severe forms of anxiety, minute to minute. And it was kind of like, that's how extroverts felt being stuck inside for the last year.
My guess is Neil Brennan.
It was a nice change of pace. Tell him who I am.
You were Neil Brennan, and the name of your show is Unacceptable. Mm-hmm. this is the tough thing. I really miss interpersonal conversations with my guests where I can sit across from them. It's a little bit tough. I think it would have been very fun to have you in here. Maybe in
well,
the
no, but
future.
This is going well. There's no delay on this, which is great.
What does unacceptable refer to, and does it go back to a very specific point in your life, in your childhood, which you talk about a lot?
It goes back to, I'm sorry, there's a cleaning thing happening near me. It goes back to the unacceptable is just the ways I feel in the world. Like, I feel like I just, not a lot about me is like what you're supposed to do. Like, I'm not married, don't have kids, don't really smoke weed, don't really drink, don't eat meat, which sounds crazy, but it is kind of a pain in the butt in terms of like people are like, what? No, let's just take it. Like, people won't really want to have dinner with you, because it feels like they're being punished. You know, like, as you mentioned, like, I'm fine with my dog. He's not going to be in my Christmas card. I'm a liberal, but I'm not good at it. There's just a lot of ways in which I don't quite do things right, and I feel somewhat unacceptable. And also how the isolation of all these things makes me convince myself that I'm unacceptable. Like, even if the world doesn't say being vegan's unacceptable, the isolation starts to trick you into thinking like, well, something must be wrong with me, which is actually what people, that was the hardship people had during the pandemic, was like, it's hard not to believe that you didn't do something wrong to be isolated the way we all were, you know? So that's kind of like that's kind of the thrust of it, I would say.
It seems like you get quite emotional during the show at certain points.
And mirrors, Allison. Smoke and mirrors.
How do you get through those moments when it catches you?
I don't really mind getting emotional, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, and I also find that when I do get emotional, there's a few times where I have a punchline coming, and it sets up those nice kind of funeral laughs where it's like, it's you know, laughter tinged with sadness. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind it. Like, I think it's valuable. I think it's like, you know, a hearty laugh. And yeah, people think that I mean everything I say in the show. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I believe it. So I don't mind getting a little emotional. And then it's I get off stage and I slowly ease back into like the sort of my normal self.
Okay, you ready? Because I have to ask the Chappelle question.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Allison.
Well, you know what? I have to say, it's public radio. If there's ever a place to talk about it with some nuance and in depth, public radio is a good place to do that.
Or is it? Yeah, I don't think Dave would agree with you, but go ahead.
All right. Well, I'll take that. I'll take that up with Dave. How about that?
Sure. I'll patch him through.
All right. So yeah, as people probably know, or if you don't, Dave has this Netflix special called The Closer, and he speaks a lot about trans people, and in a way that's angered many people, and in some cases frightened and offended members of the trans community. There have been an assortment of think pieces at this point. Some say, look, this is an artistic form that challenges people to think, and we can't shut down debate about issues. And then there's others who say, look, this is awful, it's dangerous, full stop. Having worked with Dave, this is my question. Does Dave write comic op-eds and use comedy to deliver his beliefs, or is he crafting artistic statements meant to be provocative, even if they might be a little bit dangerous?
I think Rock, Chris is more of an op-ed person, like ideological essays. I think Dave is more writing fables in a weird way, or kind of biblical, sort of metaphorical narratives. I'd say biblical, you could say rabbinical, book you want to talk, those like sort of grand metaphor, you know, I'm forgetting the term for it, but whatever. So I think he writes from He writes in a sort of opaque. The thing that we all talk about in comedy is like the way he talks on stage is not. It's not even. It's no one's ever spoken like this. It's there. These like sort of these loops of logic and narrative, and it's more like I would say Dave's shows at this point are more like a seance than a stand-up show. Mm-hmm. Like there are times where I'm like, where am I? You know, that doesn't really answer the think piece question, but if you're asking me about like form and intention, I think he approaches things in a sort of very, very indirect, way.
Have you watched the new special?
I have, Allison.
Okay. Has your opinion evolved as the conversation has gotten more fraught?
From what to what?
From where it started to where you are now, thinking about
well,
it?
Well, I mean, if you're asking,
what I'm asking you is, what did you think about the special? And then has your opinion evolved as this conversation has gone?
Since I've read think pieces? No. no, I tend to have a pretty, the funny thing is like watching all these, it's just, I get to have the actual argument with people. Mm-hmm. Instead of like, I can just argue with him instead of art, like talking about him as this sort of abstract idea.
That's why it's so interesting to talk to you about this.
I can only imagine what it must be like for you, Allison.
No, it is interesting.
I mean, my feeling is like, is that it's, everybody gets to say what they want to say. Like, mm-hmm. And do I agree with them? No, I don't agree with, but I didn't agree with them. I don't agree with stuff that was on Chappelle show. Like, I don't, this idea that we all have to agree with each other all the time. It's like, I disagree with my mom. I disagree with myself. I change my mm-hmm. mind. Like, so my feeling about Dave is he's one of the greatest recorded public speakers in human history. That's what I'll say about Dave. He's such an unbelievable public speaker, and it's like incredible to watch. And even when I don't agree with what he's saying, I'm really he is a like marvel.
What's it like for
I
you?
I think
I wanted to ask you about back get to talk about you again.
Thank you.
It's only fair. It's your show. Unacceptable sure. at the Cherry Lane
sure.
Theater.
Sure.
What's it like to do a show like this with people wearing masks? I tried to laugh with my eyes. I tried to look.
I don't
look like I was
know,
enjoying
I
it, but
I do a joke where I say it's. I actually don't mind it because when a joke doesn't work, I can tell myself like, oh, the laughs must have gotten caught on the masks. It just doesn't bother me that much, to be honest. Like I think everyone being together and the fact that you have to be vaxxed and everyone wears a mask, there's something really fortifying about it. I think for the audience, I don't think that it's a whole lot worse than it would be without masks if we were all raw dogging it. Like we were 2 years ago, or hopefully that we will be in 2 years. Like, I don't feel like I'm having a diminished experience. And I certainly don't get the sense that the audience feels that way either.
The name of the show is Unacceptable. It is at the Cherry Lane Theater, extended through November 21st. Mm. So you still have time to see it. Neil Brennan, I enjoyed talking to you.
Allison, I enjoyed talking to you too.